Our reading today is taken from Ezekiel chapter 36, and we are going to start at verse 8. The first section of our reading is going to be verses 8 to 12, and then we're going to move down to the very bottom of the page and go from verses 22 onto the other page to verse 32. Okay? So verse 8. But you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. I am concerned for you and will look on you with favor. You will be plowed and sown, and I will multiply the number of people upon you, even the whole house of Israel. The towns will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. I will increase the number of men and animals upon you, and they will be fruitful and become numerous. I will settle people on you as in the past and will make you prosper more than before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will cause people, my people Israel, to walk upon you. They will possess you and you will be their inheritance. You will never again deprive them of their children. And then down to verse 22 at the bottom. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign God, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the corn and make it plentiful, and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field, so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I am not doing this for your sake, declares the sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, O house of Israel.
Do keep your Bibles open, please, at page 867, because we're going to be looking at the text quite a bit during the sermon. My name is Chris Reveley. I'm the pastor. Thank you to all those who have helped us run the service so far. And thank you, Lord, that you are with us and you will guide us through the rest of the service. It's nice to thank people, and it's great that Johnny and Sarah have led us and the music people over here too, but also the people who are doing the sound and the visuals who welcomed us and stewarded and so on. It's great to see them. Erica, could we have the presentation up on the screen? Oh, it's not up on this one. That's why I'm confused. Is it possible to... is Candy here? No, she's not. Okay. No, fine. I'll just have to remember it's behind me. Okay, that's what I was playing for time for, you see, folks. I should look behind me and then I can see what's actually up there. Right. Fine. So I better hope my notes are complete enough now to get us through what goes on. We didn't read the whole chapter. And I, yesterday, changed a bit of what I was going to say. Because yesterday I read the whole chapter out loud. And if you read the first seven verses, you would think that this guy Ezekiel is actually pretty dull because he repeats himself over and over and over again. And what we're going to look at in this whole chapter are about five different things that seem to come up over and over again. And we're going to concentrate on that and see what they are. So we're going to look at this phrase here. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Then my holy name, then I will, then a new heart and a new spirit. And finally, the phrase that Chris Wigram told us was the integral part of the whole book, then they will know that I am the Lord. And we're going to finish, I think, almost certainly with a period of quiet to reflect on that before a song leads us at the end that ties into, hopefully, what I have said. But if we look at this phrase here, if you look at the beginning of the chapter, if you look at chapter 36 on page 867, you will see this phrase comes in verse 2, it comes in verse 3, it comes in verse 5, etc., etc. In fact, it comes 10 times in this chapter. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. And if you do read it out loud, it's really weird because you keep saying it. Not only does it come 10 times, 3 more times it says, declares the Sovereign Lord, 2 more times, hear the word of the Sovereign Lord, and once, I, the Lord, have spoken and I will do it. That's the message, and it's yet kind of saying not the message, but who's saying the message? So why on earth is it repeated so often? Why go on and on about it like that? What's the point of that? Well, the first thing, of course, is that Ezekiel wants to make the point about this really, really important message he's got in chapter 36, that it isn't him that's saying it, but it is God that's saying it. And so the message here is, this is God. Listen to what God is saying. And it's not, and I hope today that we have to come to this today. We have, as Christians, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to take my words and I speak them out. I trust and hope in his power. But you are all, if you are a Christian, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to weigh what is said and analyze it and say, is this the word of God? And the Holy Spirit can confirm that to you. So first of all, Ezekiel's saying, when he keeps going on and on about this, look, it's not me, I'm speaking on God's behalf. And then, of course, it goes on as well to talk about, if you like this phrase, Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord is a phrase that translates Adonai Yahweh. And actually, the Lord King might be a better way of describing it. The Lord King, the Sovereign Lord. We think about sovereignty a lot at the moment, thanks to Brexit. We have arguments about the sovereignty of Parliament and the sovereignty of Brussels and the sovereignty of voters versus referendums, all these sorts of things. We understand at the moment it's not about controlling everything, but the Sovereign Lord is the one who's rightfully in charge, has the authority. And it's the Sovereign Lord who's speaking. I think I've told this story before, but I've got this next point here. Remember who made the suggestion. I used to work for a lovely but very, very, very picky boss. She was an American lady, and whatever I did was never quite right. And on one occasion, she talked to me about doing something, and the following week, I went in with real confidence. I'd done it perfectly. So I told her exactly what I'd done, and I said, this. And she said, yes, very good, Chris, very good. She said, Chris, do you remember that I suggested you did it this way? And I said, yes. And she said, but you did it a different way. And I said, yes, but I got the result, didn't I? And she said, yes. And she said, but you should think about who's making the suggestion. And what she was saying was she wanted me to do it exactly the way that she'd suggested. And I think this is part of the reason that Ezekiel, when he brings the word of the Lord, keeps saying, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. He wants us to remember who's making the suggestion, who's giving the commands. It's not just about the fact that we should, yeah, okay, God, thank you, got your message. But he wants us to pay attention and to do what he says, what he suggests, what he instructs. Remember who made the suggestion. And the other thing that struck me was a phrase that my mother used to use quite often, a phrase that you will know. How many times do I have to tell you? Okay? And that phrase we know. And somehow or other, by this stage of the book, Ezekiel is obviously saying, how many times does God have to tell us this for us to get the message? So whatever this message is, it starts with this really, really strange feature that it's emphasized again and again. This comes from God, the Lord King, the Sovereign Lord. He is the one who is bringing us this message. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Now, quick one here, a mini quiz. What have all these got in common? Don't shout out, but you can think about them. Okay, anyone got an idea what they've got in common? Anyone want to venture? Yeah. Any ideas?
Failure.
Thank you. Failure. Yes. More or less. Yes. Failure. And of course, I'm going to put it slightly. Actually, brand and reputational damage. Brand and reputational damage. So TSB has had this nightmare of starting up as a new independent bank and then their computer systems crashing. With Bradley Wiggins, we don't know, but there's still a shadow over his reputation because of uncertainties around drugs tests. With Ratner's, that's probably one that most of the young people don't remember. Many of us got our engagement rings for our wives at Ratner's. And unfortunately, on one occasion, that rather loud-looking man with his hands up like that stood up and told the world that his products were rubbish. And the next day, his company collapsed virtually. It was a bad move. And then, of course, recently we've had the delights, and most of us haven't, unless you travel on Thames Link. But, of course, was it last Friday? The boss resigned because of the disgrace of the problems with the timetable. You see, actually, reputation is really important. I used to work as an independent management consultant until a few years ago. But Andy Ross and I have worked together in the heady world of commercial or whatever. And Andy will remember on one occasion when I had just put in a change that meant that a particular call centre that day when we went live only handled 40% of all the calls that came into it. And I drove home, I think, with Andy that day, and I thought my career was utterly ruined and I was about to get sort of sacked and so on, because I thought my reputation will be ruined and no one will ever take me on again. Fortunately, by the next day, we got it mostly sorted out and it got better. But the reputation is really important. And one of the things about this passage and some of the songs we've had today is actually that God is really concerned about his reputation. Now, don't get me wrong, he's not trying to sell you designer clothes. It's not brand in that sense. But God is really concerned about his holy name. And again, another passage, Ezekiel clearly wasn't very imaginative with his words. He didn't look up a thesaurus to find six different ways of saying something. He said the same thing six times instead. And he goes over and over from verse 20 to verse 23 about his holy name. His holy name. Because you see, and this was the picture if you think, if you remember back, Ezekiel is with the exiles. And actually, what actually is going on there is that those people have been kicked out of the land that they thought was their land, where God was in charge, where the temple was. And now back in chapter 33 of this book, we've been told that even what was left in Jerusalem has been destroyed and everything is taken away. And what God is saying to them is, look, don't you realize what's going on here? People all around who were not children of Israel were saying, these are Yahweh's people. These are the Lord's people. And yet they had to leave Yahweh's land. He can't be much of a God, can he? He can't be doing a good job. His people are fairly pathetic, aren't they? We've got a much better God over here because we're currently on the winning side. Look at us. And so what God is saying to his people is, look, my reputation really matters. My holy name is important. And I am going to put things right for the people of Israel because of my holy name. So that people are not pointing the finger and saying, oh, that's not much of a God. But they're actually recognizing that Lord Yahweh, the King, is the one who is Lord of all the earth, even the exiles, hundreds of miles away from where they came from. God's judgment had come upon his people in line with the covenant he'd made. He made a covenant that said, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I will bring curses upon you. If they were disobedient, they knew they would have been ultimately a punishment to pay. And that is what's now happened. But God promises to restore his name, to restore his reputation. And God is still concerned about his name and his reputation today. God will ultimately be utterly vindicated Think about those wonderful verses in Philippians where it says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the ultimate outcome when God restores his name and his glory is seen throughout the earth. Right now, as church, we are responsible for God's reputation, and we need to recognize that he is concerned that we live in a way and that we show love in a way that truly honors his holy name. These slides I'm using are available on the desk if you want them anymore. I'm not expecting you to be able to really read this next one, but you've only got to read the two words at the top. Because if you're looking at your verses now, from on the next page, from verse 24, what I wanted to bring out is that this is a totally God-centered set of promises, that what comes next. This is not about, if you do this, then that. It's not about try harder and we'll see what happens next. This is about the Lord King saying, this is what I am going to do. I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to follow my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the corn and make it plentiful and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, people of Israel. What a shocking last sentence. And yet it is right that we read the whole passage. In a moment we'll think a little bit more about the heart of stone and the heart of flesh. And that's the bit that we rightly focus on, I believe, today. But what a solemn word. That God looked at his people who had been disobedient when he had been faithful. He had worked through the whole thing about their punishment when they went into exile. Yet he was always there for him, for them. And he's now going to restore them. But he says, look, don't get it wrong. I'm not restoring you because you've been good followers of me in exile. I'm restoring you because I am concerned about my holy name. And this is really solemn. And one of the things that struck me as I read this was that very often and very rightly, we are concerned about each other. We're concerned about the world around us and so on. But we need to recognize that the core of the faith that we follow is God's unconditional love for us, coupled with his call for us to turn and follow him and live his way. And that is a tension that we have to recognize. And he absolutely is giving us his Holy Spirit. He's absolutely removing our heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. But it isn't because we've been great people. It's because of his grace and his love. Just to balance this is a really heavy, solemn message, this one. I'm not doing this for your sake. The Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, many times tells us about God's grace, his love for his people. He tells us in Deuteronomy, I didn't love you because you were better than anyone else. I loved you because I love you. So yes, of course, God does love us. But this is a strong message. I'm not doing this, God says. I'm not restoring you because you are special, because you've been obedient. I'm restoring you because of my name. And I think when we use the word name there, we're looking at the whole plan that God has got to bring about that situation where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A new heart and a new spirit. It's very interesting that I love what we did today, and I met someone going outside, and they said, oh, doesn't Play-Doh feel nice? And there was something about that process, wasn't there, that really speaks to us. It's great to have, you know, I hope it's good, to have people stand at the front and talk. But sometimes it's really good to have something tactile that we engage with that helps a different part of our mind, our heart, our brain to engage. We sometimes use heart in our culture to think in terms of emotions. So let's just to clarify, when it says a new heart, it really means a new allness, all of us, all of our personality. It's not particularly about emotions like we use it. Okay, so it means a complete transformation of our beings. That's probably the best way to look at it. And this wasn't a new message in Ezekiel, because in Ezekiel chapter 11, he says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And in chapter 18, if you remember when Tony preached last week, the last verse of that chapter where he left us was this, where actually God says to his people, rid yourselves of all the offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Actually, that solves all the problems of the world. If only we could get new hearts and new spirits. But of course, it needs God's initiative because we can't do it on our own. And so we come to this lovely verse in Ezekiel 36. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Now, a heart of flesh, sometimes in the New Testament, we use the word flesh with a negative meaning. I don't know if sometimes you've heard the phrase the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's not the flesh that's referred to here. It means exactly as we saw with the Play-Doh, a heart that God can work in, that's malleable, that's gentle, that's soft, not the hard heart of the stone. As we tried to press those stones, we could not do it. We could not see it work. This is the theme of Ezekiel, that God offers his people and offers us a new start. A new start that offer is unconditional. He gives us his new heart. He gives us his spirit, calling us then to walk in his way. This is the message of a transformation. It's not the message of receiving an accessory. It's not, would you like a new watch? It's, would you like a new life? And that's how we need to understand it. I was reading a couple of testimonies online of people that have had heart transplants. And I guess that's the sort of picture that would have been impossible in Ezekiel's time when they heard this. But in our culture, we can understand a heart transplant. And people were saying, what an amazing new opportunity I've got. I've got a fresh start. I've got life when I thought I would have no life. And that's the wonderful offer that God gives to us. He says that if we believe in Jesus Christ, and if we confess with our lips that he is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we can have new life. We can have his Holy Spirit living within us. And finally, we come to what Chris Wigram taught us 2 weeks ago is the real message of Ezekiel. It's the last verse of chapter 35, if you look, and it's the last verse of chapter 36. Then they will know that I am the Lord. It's quite interesting as to the they, because I think it is one of those things that it clearly refers to the people of Israel, but I think it refers to the rest of the world as well. And this phrase comes at least 25 times in Ezekiel. I put that because some people say it comes 50 times and I couldn't find 50, but I could find more than 25. So I know there's at least 25, okay? This is a really big message. Then people, those who follow God and those who don't, will know that he is the Lord. And in chapter 38, we read this. So I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. In a moment, we are going to have a couple of minutes of real silence, I hope, just to reflect on what God is saying to us today as we think about this verse that's been the center of us today. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. But let's be clear, that the most important thing is not what is going on in us, but it is God's holy name is revealed through us. He wants to show other people his greatness and his holiness through the way that we live. Back in verse 23, it said, I will show the holiness of my great name. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. And so God wants everyone to be included in his kingdom. But those of us who are already included have been given a new heart, not for just our benefit, but that we might live in a way that attracts other people, everyone else, that they might see the holiness of God proved in us to the whole world around. As we finish then, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It's his authority. He's concerned about his reputation, his holy name, and so should we be. It's God who says, I will do this, I will do this. It's his grace and mercy given freely to us. He's promising a new heart and a new spirit so that we will live in a way that proves his holiness and his love to the whole world, that they and we will know that he is the Lord.